Programs that you are implementing. The slide just gives the sort of the landscape of the Northern Cape in terms of agriculture, in terms of population, and then also gives the division of the agricultural production across the province in terms of the farmland area, which is predominantly the irrigation agriculture. Then you have the little orange, where we are giving about 4,000 hectares, and the crops that are being produced, and the lower orange, where you have the grape industry well established. If we go to the first conditional grant, which focuses on land care, divided into spare care, soil care, water care, junior care, and conservation agriculture. We have the following allocation for the 2016 financial year. First of all, the allocation need to be on bush control, don't allow high terry, again, fair care, we deal with in the local municipality, Tom Rolo. We're looking at debushing in terms of fair enhancement program, or key vegetation, and then Tete Mukau, also a fair care. Program in terms of soil enhancement, rehabilitating degraded soils. Big figure survey, soil care, in the local municipality, Ubuntu. We have soil enhancement, dealing with soil care, or dealing with the Thomas and the Indian Ocean. And then, of course, the other allocation, about 4 million, will be used for the National Indian Land Care Conference, which will be hosted in the province of the North. And then other activities in the level of 24,000 to assist in the implementation of the Kalahari Navy province, which then the allocation for the financial year is about 9.3 million for the province. So just giving the graphical representation of how the allocation is divided among the different districts where it is being implemented. And then in Pitfinger 7, I've already indicated that we have a budget of 1 million to deal with soil erosion control program in particular, and then 210 hectares of rangeland already we have been rehabilitated to date. Francis Fast, also in terms of deep bushing, due to community dynamics, we had to reallocate those funds to another program. And then we have the Peter Serme, 200,000 for SOPAS, and then we start with the work in the first quarter. Front Aula Haiteri, which is where we do the majority of the bush, debushing or controlling bush encroachment to make space for vegetative growth, same as in ZF and so forth. And then we are just giving some of the structure in Richmond, Ubuntu local municipality, that the conservation structure is showing there, and also in terms of trying to encourage real vegetation and control and stimulating the movement of over number so that land can again be put under production. If we go to CAF, the total budget is about 128.3 million, with CAF projects being allocated the bigger about 92 million, capacity building about 3 million, marketing and business development 2.1 million, and then advisory services in terms of the extension recovery plan to 8 million, and then research about 1.5, and then the rest will be used for administration. in terms of the extension recovery plan, those are the pillars which are being funded in terms of accountability, promote professional and professionalism, and improve the image of extension, recruitment of personnel, reskilling, as well as the provision of the tools of trade, which then gives a total of 20.1 million and expenditure to date has been 9.1 million. And then we're just giving the budget allocation in terms of training. I won't go through that. And then, like I indicated, we have allocated the funding according to the self-employed districts as per the needs and the players in those districts. Francis Bart, we have four projects with an amount of 14 million. John Saul Haiteli District, three projects with 1.9 million. Namakwa, 53.4 million. Kisi Kaseme District, six projects to the value of 15 million. Setup in town, four projects to the value of 8 million. And the total, like I said, is 25 projects to the value of 92.5 million. This is just a graphical representation of, in terms of the pension, how the money is allocated. We see the joint on high field in terms of cash projects, allocated to 4%, the mark was 56%, 16%, 16%, and 9%. Now, here we are just giving the information on the beneficiaries who get support according to those districts in the following commodities according to the IPAM classification, in terms of fruit, in terms of vegetables, give the target there, I won't go through all of them, but then we have the total number of beneficiaries that you left column, about 3,447 beneficiaries according to those enterprises. Then give the number of farmers who benefit from those districts, giving the chance of subsistence farmers, smallholder farmers, commercial farmers, and then according to the separate districts. And then we're also giving the figure there, which is totally 4742. And then the following tables give progress in the first quarter with two. The number of projects supported and the targeted beneficiaries, again, in terms of the enterprises, and there the division indicates in terms of male, female, young people, and the like. And then also give the total. I won't go through all of that. And then if we go to again, what we have done in terms of our target and what was done in the first quarter. We also give the details in terms of the categories of farmers, again, whether how many farmers, for instance, if you look at Francis Park, the commercial farmers, 21 male farmers, and in terms of female farmers, we got 9, so it goes with substantial smallholder farmers. And then, in terms of the enterprises that I talk about, products that I talk about, we are also giving information there in terms of hectares planted, in terms of those commodities. For instance, if you look at maize in the non-earliest time of the year, we would not have planted, but wheat, because it's a winter crop, it was planted in the first quarter, 150 hectares planted. In particularly in Francis Bath. And then we look at the vegetables, we also give information there. All winter crops were planted in the first quarter. And then we also give the information in the first quarter on training, of about the total training courses were conducted, benefiting 259 beneficiaries. And the training was conducted by the extension officers themselves, calling the agricultural economists, as well as some of the ourselves from Adam. Then we give the details of non-training and give the courses that were given in terms of women, male and youth in the different districts. And we see that most of the training is around the product that we will be supporting to this financial year. So it continues in terms of cattle production, $1 high series, most of training, vegetable production, safe engine of chemicals because of the division or bush encroachment control, and then of course royal amenities in terms of poultry. But I would say if you go to Ilima, this is the allocation per district. Francis Bar will have two projects totaling $18 million. Joint Alakate, one project to the rail of $6.5 million. Ramapa, project $2 million. Pixita Cemetery, $9 million. Veta Fukau, seven projects to the rail of $19 million, which gives a total of $55 million. And then we just give in terms of traffic representation. And then the communities that will be supported with the funding from this conditional grant, irrigation schemes, one of them, we shall touch on later. Then we have also the vineyard development program in the province, which is allocated about 18.1 million in terms of food, 6.3, and then the beta, so it goes with the other programs, including the regular scheme. And then, like we did with comprehensive agricultural support program, even here, we have listed these projects according to April, and then we also give an indication of how many beneficiaries per commodity, as the same as in the farmers, and we are categorizing them according to the different districts. And then, like I indicated already, it was a CAP project that we only dealt with the winter crop, including in terms of the vineyard that we have already that we are busy planting. We were also requested, Honorable Chair, to give information on the Feta Sala project, the 2015-16 financial year, in the maize crop planted in two districts. 579 hectares of planted, 28, with the number of projects 15 for Francis Barth, 5 for PC. Wheat, again, Francis Barth, 579, 15 projects, 60 Seme, and also it includes Nyamakwa, 83 hectares of planted with wheat, and then Oats 41. The plan for 2016-2017 would be again in Francis Barth, giving the number of hectares that will be number of projects and the number of hectares that will be planted. We have already planted or established wheat, as well as also Namawa. And then, just in addition, we are giving the some of the high impact project in terms of value chain. The NDP, so in terms of the National Development Plan, it is required of us to expand irrigated agriculture. And then in Namakwa, we have the program called Namakwa Irrigation Development, where we plan to develop 3,200 hectares of high potential usable land. The reason is therefore is that there is land on the previously disadvantaged individuals, and already water rights or water licenses allocated to these properties. And then 11 localities are along the Orange River, and then we'll use OTSRs as the anchor. So high value prospects are being developed there. Right, so a great industry as well as the bait. The project cost over a 10-year period will be 1.6 million. If we continue, the second major program that we are doing is to implementing together with Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, National Agricultural Marketing Council, as well as rural development and land reform in the province, including also in the Mako Irrigation Development, is Farahat Revitalization Scheme. If we do what we're supposed to do in terms of dealing with salinization and water logging and re-revising the old structure, of course working with the National Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation, we will be able to assess the neighboring province that our own irrigation scheme with about 2,000 hectares of water rights, which was through water logging and space. So there is the intention is to revitalize the infrastructure so that we can increase the production of maize by 5.7% and increase the production of wheat by 5.6%. And then there's another development which we want hitherto excluded farmers to benefit from, is this growing number of hectares in this area which have been put under pecan nut. We are working with the pecan nut industry as well as the Department of Agriculture to make sure that we bring hitherto excluded people to participate. And then the other program that we are implementing is the vineyard development scheme that we are implementing together with the Agricultural Marketing Council as well as staff. We have also brought on board rural development. Those are, we're giving the list of projects which are benefiting from this venture. All those areas that we are hitting there are previously disadvantaged individuals and farmers. Some of them are land reform projects, including FASMA, which is a restitution case. So we are developing and trying to bring the people to participate in irrigated agriculture along the Orange River. We are giving the hectares. There was this thing of saying that there's a shortage of brandy. Also we have the wine development. We also have the dried horizons, as well as the export table grapes. Then we are also indicating there in this presentation the expenditure summary for the conditional grants as at 15 September. If you look at the left column, we indicate the percentage of budget spent, the 5% in terms of the length of the special support program, 1% in terms of land care, the bulk of which will be taken utilized in the third quarter, expanded public works program, about 80%. It's about 2 million which we received from public works and quality incentive grant for having created a number of job opportunities through the implementation of the conditional grant and using the EPWP principles. In the ILIWA, we had already spent 20%. Then we also indicate the expenditure plus commitment and advances, then it is as at 15 September, 53% of the allocation. The next slide just indicates the original budget, for instance, to cut 128.3, and then the cash received in terms of how much we received, and then we also give the expenditure in terms of percentage. This is just the graphical representation of the allocation versus the expenditure. We start making a comparison in terms of the implementation or expenditure of conditional grants in the 2015 financial year and the same period vis-a-vis this type 2015. Given the blue line that indicates how much was spent since the beginning of the financial year, compare that with the previous financial year. And then the next slides are just showing the details in terms of per district, in terms of the allocation that I've talked about, in terms of cars, in terms of PDMA, as well as in terms of linkage. This is the number of
Thank you, HOD. We have joined by the chairperson of Northern Cape. Ma'am, if you can just introduce yourself and the acting MEC. Can you introduce yourself, ma'am, and the MEC?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. My name is Mr. Makato. I am the chairperson for the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform, and Farm Development in the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Nkosi Sokacha, the acting MEC of Agriculture and Development and the MEC of South Africa.
Thank you very much. Let's get KZN. You can, KZN.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It's good to be here again. I'm Stephen Kinsey, the HOD for Agriculture and Rural Development in KwaZulu-Natal. I would like to firstly to put an apology for our MEC. He's abroad on his duties. But also, we do not have, as yet, we do not have a chair of the portfolio committee, because our MEC was nominated, our MEC used to be the previous chairperson of the committee. And we are glad also to be here to present our progress and the plans for conditional grants for 16-17. I will give it to Mr. Sibusiso Shongwe, who will lead us on the progress and on the slides. I will just intervene when there are some questions and also when there are some clarifications. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Take you through the KZN presentation. We will be focusing on the grant efforts and policy imperatives and investment as the commodity that we planned. And then we'll look at the conditional grant allocation in terms of expenditure, board, cash, NEMA-LESEMA, and land care, the three of them. And just highlight the farmers and the capacity building that we've engaged into, and the extension recovery plan, and we then give the summary of the report for 2015-16 and the plans for 2016-17 under Federal Salah Food Security Initiative. In terms of the grant purposes, if you look at CAS, I think the purpose has not changed. We are here, this grant is here just to provide effective agriculture support services, promote and facilitate agriculture development by targeting beneficiaries of land reform.
Sorry for interruption. I hope it is not a hurt. Can I propose that we go to the business and leave the grant proposals, what is the saying and so on, because I think we know those by now. Let's just go to the business.
Thank you so much. So I'll pass this slide. And in terms of the policy imperatives, I'll pass it also.
Yeah.
And then we'll just focus on the programs that we
we are engaged into in the province. We look at marketing, cotton production, we look at livestock program, both small and large, and sugar cane financial distress farmers, and we look at communal estate, where we're focusing on our maize and beans production, and revitalization of agricultural projects, and food security, and then we look at extension recovery. In terms of the investment now, of the money that we've received per commodity, we have 7 commodities that we've prioritized, and we've put 5 projects planned covering all the districts in the province of Kwazulu Natal. The commodities are poultry, grain, vegetables, dairy, fruit, aquaculture, and red meat. And we've just put proportions of the investment there. Where the bigger money goes to vegetables and goes to the grain production. And then in terms of the funding areas and the CAS projects, we have 154 million and a equitable share of 40 million, and the first quarter transfer was 15.4 million and in the quarter one we spent 10.5 million, which is 68% of the money. And under extended recovery, we have 45.8 million and our equitable share of 15 million, and the first transfer of our original grant was 4.5 million and with on the quarter one we spent 6.4 million, which means that's an over expenditure. And on CAS colleges infrastructure, we have 11.1 million, and the first transfer in quarter one was 1.1, and we've spent 693,000, which is 62%. And training and mentorship program, we have an allocation of 11 million, and in quarter one, we've transferred 1.1 million, and we've spent the whole of 1.1 million. So the total amount that was transferred in the quarter one was 22.2 million, and we've spent 19.1 million, 92%. Then in terms of Idima Lesema, locate allocations and business expenditure, if you look at the grain production, which is maize and beans, we've been having an allocation of 18.1 million, and quarter one transfer is 1.8, we have not spent that budget because our season is about to start now in October and September, depending on the rain circumstances. And then the cotton production, we have 6.4 million, and the first transfer is 640,000, and same thing as above. Irrigation development, we have 15 million allocation, and the first transfer was 1.5 million, and we spent 4.3 million already. And then the mechanization program, in our communal estate, we have 13.3 million, and first quarter transfer was 1.3 million, we have not spent, because the season has not yet started. Food security, we have 11 million and we have the first quarter transfer of 1.1 and we spent 1.9 million. If you look at the total allocation for this grant, we have 63.876 and first quarter transfer was 6.3, we spent 6.2 million now. Land care allocation, the total expenditure, the allocation for this grant is 10.6 million. And on the first quarter, we have transferred 1.0 million, and we have spent in the first quarter 2.2 million. Now, in terms of the planned performance indicators for land care, we have a performance indicator for a number of land users or people benefiting directly. We have a target of 245 on this grant, and then on the first quarter, we have a target of achieved. Target of 2.5, and we have achieved it. It's because these are the people that were employed. So as they enter on the first quarter, they go throughout the site. And hectares of wetland protected, we have planned 539 hectares. For the first quarter, we have planned 240, and we've done 140 hectares. Hectares of land where wheat and invader plants are under control, we have planned 2,481 hectares for the whole year. But for the first quarter, we've planned 495 hectares and we've done 499 hectares. A number of youth successfully attending organized journal and care initiatives, we've planned 1,600 for the whole year, but for the first quarter, we've targeted 800 and we've done 800. Number of honest coming conducted, we've planned
terms of the kilometer affected erected
which one is the I've got a problem, can you see that? What's okay? This one. Is the one that does not have other what's happening?
Can I
continue? No, there is no you the presentation that members have does not have other pages that we are talking to.
It's been circulated, Honourable Chair.
No, is it not the same?
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
This one, hope this one has the pages.
Okay. All right. Okay, can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We were now on the issue of the kilometer. Yes. And they were doing the kilometer of painting to be erected. We were planning 7.6 kilometers. And for the first quarter, we were wanted to do 7 kilometers and we've done 6.9 kilometers. Planned activities aligned to APEP in terms of the commodities. We've just highlighted all of them. We've used fruit, vegetables, red meat, broilers, layers, maize, and dry beans. And then we've just shown the allocation as the other slide that's shown with the app. But what is important to highlight is that 154 million will be covering 67 projects with jobs of 942 and the number of farmers targeted 3,859 projects. In terms of marketing education scheme, which is funded under the Malisema program, we wanted to do instead surface drainage pipes covering 250 hectares. And engine repair for main irrigation canals, mainly concrete work, to prevent collapse of damaged sections of the main irrigation canal to enable irrigation of 2008. The budget allocation for this was 15 million, and to date was spent 4.3 million in the construction of the surface drainage. We've already started. So this is kind of the work on the ground that we can show here. Farmer training and capacity building. For farmer training, we've targeted, we've allocated 6 million rand and targeted 11,000 farmers for training. For the first quarter, we've allocated 550 and we've expanded to 550, but we've trained 486 farmers already as we speak on our database. And in terms of the mentorship program, also we have 5 million for a year. We've targeted 596, and we have, for the first quarter, we have 550,000. And we've trained 40 projects with 30 beneficiaries for the first quarter, and the work is continuing. In terms of the station recovery plan allocation versus expenditure, if you look at the pillars of visibility and accountability, we have an allocation of 6.1 million, and to date we have work under progress. We have not spent on this quarter, but under improved image and professionalism, 5.1 million was spent, 266,000. Under recruitment, we have a total allocation of 16.7, we have spent 4 million already. And under reskilling and reorientation, cleanup, we have spent 1.3 million out of 6 million. And the ICT and others, we have 13 million allocation and we have spent 788,000. So out of 45.8 for the whole allocation, we have spent 6.4 to take on the first quarter. In terms of this, now the summary report for Fetatala food production. For 2015-16, which is the last financial year, obviously we're having this circumstances of a drought. So if you look at the district that we've listed for May, we've done 8,000 drivers in the district. And then for the beans, we've done 5,299. And for soya beans, we've done 575. Ground nuts, we've done 205. And cotton, we've done 150. The total hectares we've done for the last season, we've done 14,562. In terms of our readiness, state of readiness for 2016-17 on this program, per district with an allocation, but we have planned for May in all the districts to do 7,620, and then for beans, we have planned to do 2,318, for soya beans, we have planned to do 350, and for groundnuts, we have planned to do 170, and for 14,150, total hectareage, which was planned to do 10,608. We normally do more than this, but we are conscious because of the drought circumstances in the province. Not in the province, only in the country at all. So, but in terms of what we've done currently, we have planted 45 hectares of maize this season. It's about to the right. And we've done 8 hectares of soybean this season. This is a project. This project is under irrigation at Makatin, so we're already having some commodities on the ground as we speak. Thank you, Chair. It's also not like.
Thank you very much. KZN. We'll now allow members to ask questions because we've delayed Eastern Cape and Western Cape. They are not here. We said they must come at 12:30. So let's ask questions on the two provinces. Honorable Kruger, Honorable Stein, Honorable Youngblood, Honorable Papa, Honorable Tongwane, Honorable Maloy, Honorable members from the provinces, you are allowed to ask questions. You are allowed to ask questions. This is your meeting. You can ask questions. Yeah, so MEC, you can't, you must answer the question. Okay. As I've noted, you honorable member.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I only got one question, and thank you for the presentations of both provinces. I only got one question, and that's to the Northern Cape. In one of the slides, unfortunately, they didn't number the slides. The project in one of the districts was two projects at the price of 18 million rand. I'll try to find it quickly. Yeah. It's in Francis Bart district.
Page?
I don't know. Unfortunately, it's not pages.
Okay.
Just say projects per district.
Oh.
Just before the remark, what you call it, graph.
Yes. Continue. Yes.
Everybody go. So the question is, so it's two projects, and the project cost 18 million, so it seems like roughly 9 million rand each, which sounds a lot of money for a agriculture project. So if the province can just give us some more detail in exactly what happened there, with the bought a few farms, whatever, you know, it sounds just a lot of money spent on two projects. If you look, Madam Chair, if you listened yesterday to the other provinces, I mean, the sort of money they spend on 10 or 9, you know, or 20 projects. Yes, just two projects with 80 million. And I would like to know how many jobs did these two projects create and what did it do about food security? Thank you, ma'am.
You'll note the question, Honorable Spain.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the for presentations. I'll do the specific provinces first, and then I'll just ask those general questions that we asked to the provinces yesterday, because the provinces were yesterday. Chairperson, generally, this is for KZN, the question is that I see under your project supported, there is no provision for sugarcane. So I want to also the National Department to listen to this, because it's a concern that I'm having, is that sometimes it looks like we are not looking at specific provinces. And that is where I come in with my colleague from the Eastern Cape, where sometimes the conditional grants is too conditional. You can't move into your provinces and districts. So I picked up that KZN under all your presentations, there's no provision for support for sugarcane, and then in Northern Cape, I don't see anything on livestock support. So even in Northern Cape, there's a section that talks about sugarcane with 0-0 next to it. So I'm getting a bit confused here. I didn't know that we grow sugarcane in the Northern Cape, but maybe I can learn something today that I didn't know, Chair. Then, on KZN specifically, I want to know about how far you are with your Makatini irrigation scheme. I saw some results on that, Chairperson, but again on this, we don't have a baseline. We don't know that we have now 10% completed, or that in the year 2025 or whatever, the whole of Makatini will be under irrigation and we can be farming full out. I remember 2 or 3 years ago when we visited that area, there was still a lot of work that needed to be done. So I would like to get a bit more specific on Makatini, exactly where we are. How much money do you need to finalize and complete that project, and how many years do you think it will take? And then, Chairperson, the same to the Northern Cape on the Parlard irrigation scheme. We also visited that one. I would like to know exactly how far are we from fully completing, because the concern that we have and that we picked up from both those communities when we visited them is that because we have to budget it almost on a 10-year completion phase, what happens is by the time we get to the end of the 10-year and the whole project is supposed to be completed, at the beginning, the first work that we did is already vandalized or gone or whatever, because we can't use it. It's just the way it works. You know, if we don't get enough money to do it in 1 or 2 years, it's almost, you know, fruitless expenditure, because you put infrastructure in place, but because you can't use the area now, it doesn't help. So if you can give me specifically on follow-up exactly how far we are and how long will it take us and what amount of money to finalize that project. And Chairperson, on both KZN and Northern Cape, I see nothing on drought support. I know that it's stick in the whole cost and what kind of thing, but I would have liked to see, and they weren't here, and we will repeat it for all the provinces, we would like to see per district, almost per municipality, what specific support that you give. You gave 3,000 bales to 20 people at a cost of X. You drove so many boreholes. There's nothing of boreholes in KZN and the Northern Cape. And if I can remember on a written question to the minister, I think Northern Cape said something like 400 boreholes. And I thought to myself, but there is nothing on drove boreholes in the report today, and even on the report DDG that we got from you yesterday on boreholes, there's zero for Northern Cape. There's some for KZN there. Then, Chairperson, I would like to know Rimfastmark, another passionate place of mine. It says 40% hectares for export grapes, but 0-0 under production. what is happening in Ringfast Lock? I know there is problems with water also there, so if I can get that. Then, Chair, to the National Department and specifically to the Northern Cape. Yesterday when we received the report on floods, there were three provinces mentioned, Mpumalanga, Free State, and I think Limpopo. There was nothing on Northern Cape. There's another area of mine lying there since, I think, 2010 flood, that lower Orange River scheme, where some of the work was done and not all of the work. If it's going to come rain and there's going to be a flood, there's going to be a crisis, because some of the areas have been, walls were, dams were thrown, but the rest is not. So what is going to happen now? It's going to even make it worse. So I need to get a report like we did on the Kuala. How much money do we need? Did we ask for that money? Where is it? What's going to happen? Because I remember my colleague, Minister Tina Jamatha, making promise in the last 2-3 years about that flood repairs, but there's nothing and there is not even anything in the national. So for National Department, I need a full list of all the disasters. Outstanding money. We got the 2012 ones, but the previous ones and the ones after that, where are we?
I think if we
I'll leave it there, Chair, and then we can ask the general questions to all the provinces later again.
Yes, but I'll encourage members to use we, because it's not the individual thing.
I'm sorry, we.
Yeah,
yes.
So.
Okay, sorry, Chair, I'll leave it there then. After the others ask questions, we can go to yesterday's questions to all the provinces to be self-guided by the other members.
Okay. All right. Honorable Young Blue.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question, which I'm asking to both provinces. I would like to know what the status of aquaculture in the two provinces are. In KZN, which is a coastal province, no provision whatsoever or no mention is made of aquaculture. In the Northern Cape, I see that aquaculture is listed there, but there's obviously some confusion because it refers to the number of animals to be bought and to be sold and so on. So please, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Young Blood, Honorable Tongwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the Northern Cape, there's a flag that says farmers support it. There are two columns there for newly supported, and there's nothing on those columns. I just need to be clarified. And again, on that same slide, there's on farmers access market. On the female column, there's nothing. That's the only clarity I need to take.
Honorable Maloy.
No, just to put the rider on top of what the honourable member said, I think in all the areas, whether it's CASP or the FEMA and so on, wherever you are talking about farmer supported, where there is nothing, can you just explain? I know it's practice bars and so on and so forth, in all the pages. Unfortunately, your pages are not numbered, so we can't refer you to a page, but in all those areas. If you can just deal with those, I'll be very happy. The question, which is a general question, what is the relationship between yourselves and the organized unions, AFASA, Africa, Africa, and so on? Do you have a good working relationship? Are you working together to attend to challenges that are faced by our farmers, whether it's a smallholder, whether it's commercial, and so on? Are those relationships there? The second question, which I would, the third question, which I'm posing to KwaZulu-Natal in particular, the support which you are providing to smallholder farmers and so on, are you supporting people who are supposed to be supported? And are all people who are supposed to be supported by yourselves, or are you supporting this person and jump the other one and so on, because there is an allegation, and not only to KwaZulu-Natal, but to almost a number of provinces, that more often than not, some of the farmers are not supported because of different views or whatever. You can just give us a general comment on that one. I will be very happy. Okay, then if you go to page 15, page 15. You know, in your presentation, you were consistent, and I like your consistency. When you are not spending, you are able to explain why you are not spending, and so on. But on this one, visibility and accountability. Total expenditure 0-0 up to date. You did not even explain as to why are you not spending in that particular area. So I'll be very happy if you can just explain to us as to why are you not spending in that area. And then I think all other areas we have explained, and I'm happy that you have explained. But just to re-emphasize the question of drilled boreholes, if both provinces can just indicate to us, because I know that you might not have the details, just indicate to us how many boreholes have you drilled in your province, how many are operational, and how many are not operational. And if possible, just indicate how much funds were set aside for those boreholes and how much have you spent to date. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maloyi. Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. On Northern Cape, I was just worried about that slide where it says commodities supported, and then you have commodity, number of projects, the commodity, and then the budget. And in that case, we have, for instance, in the first one, irrigation scheme, number of projects, the commodity is one, and the budget 15. And then you go down, and then you have them. Is that the real calculation? That is this commodity, only this one project, the commodity. And then that's the clarity on that one. The next one on that Falhart irrigation scheme, you talk about 32,000 hectares of arable land, which makes it the biggest in South Sahara. The next one, talk about bulk irrigation infrastructure of 60 years, which makes water loss of 30%. The next one, you talk about rewaterization, which talks about 5.7% and 5.6%. I think there is some misplacement of these issues here, because one looks like a challenge. One, it looks like talking about the potential, and in other area you talk about the sort of achievement. I wonder how we can change it and make it in the way that it doesn't bring all those things together. It goes where it belongs. If we talk about challenges, we go for challenges. And then the next thing, I'm not comfortable, or I did not pick properly, is the readiness for this coming season, which is critical for us. On KZN, not much. I would have expected that the procurement, or at least you have something done in quarter one for this production of cotton and grain, since this is almost the season of cropping in those crops. The next one, I'm also worried about, in fact I need a clarity on the ratio of farmers versus jobs. In other situations, you have a lot of farmers and few jobs, and in other areas, less farmers and more jobs, which makes sense. But maybe if there is a scientific explanation of why this, in this case you have so many farmers but only jobs, not unless it can be explained. Now in KZN again, you have a slide where I've seen that mainly the production of maize and beans, to me it gives the impression that somehow there is a understanding or a tendency to be biased towards these poor, because to me these communal people who are benefiting on these things. But if that is the case, maybe there should be a way of explaining it so that in when the situation changes, that you don't now stick on this, which makes me believe that you seemingly understand the needs of the poor people. If that is the case, I hope and I wish it should be highlighted. Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair.
Just to add questions, or let me give Honorable Cleaver first before I add.
And the problem is, you know, I may sound funny for Northern kids, but unfortunately, there is no page passion about to be on land case. Saying the original budget is 9.3. But they ended up getting a cash of 4.1. I needed the province to expatiate Chairperson here or to explain first for me to understand. Quickly going to KZN, my colleague, my wife here, has already alluded on the area of on page 15 on visibility and accountability, because I wanted to check whether the province of Texas is in a way want to suggest to us that they do not have a plan to utilize that budget of 6.14 million. On page 14, KZN, the front of the page is about farmer training. Then the allocation is 6,000, but you have at least 11,000. In technical terms, we are saying it's not coming so far, maybe in this course of this financial year, but you have already made a progress of 486 trains. And when I get to this technical, I thought they were saying out of 11,000 targeted farmers to be trained, they managed to train 483. I never thought that they are saying progress made. But nonetheless, the province must express it to what they are saying.
Okay, just to add questions, KZN and Northern Cape. Adding to what Honorable Krapa has said, your readiness to the planting season, you just saw the hectares, but in terms of the support that you're going to give to communities and the farmers, it's not clear. And if we can get that explanation, both the reports, they don't have any contribution on the household, support to the household. Can you clarify that? DAF National, when you presented, you said that the only provinces that they recruited the extension extension recovery plan is the Eastern Cape. The KZN, it shows that quarter one, they've recruited and they've spent 4 million. What happened In terms of the Fetsa Tala vis-a-vis Ili Malitsima, can I get clarity? Because all of you are saying Fetsa Tala, Ili Malitsima. Can we get clarity? What are you talking about? So that we are together, that we're talking about the same thing. So where you are saying Ili Malitsima or Fetsa Tlala, are you talking about the same thing or what and what this program differently intended to achieve? Can we get clarity from both provinces? can choose to start HOD and KZN because we are near and Northern Cape will fall. Yeah?
Signore.
No, there is no signore. There is no signore. Oh, no. Before, KZN, the Mjindi, we're supposed to be Makatini, Makatini irrigation. How far are you? Because at the time we visited that place, there was a problem with the access to water, particularly they've raised access of water in on Josini Dam. Yes, can we get clarity what has been done so far?
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sen, you want to hold on, HOD?
Sorry, Chair, there was one for Morgan that I missed. I just read here that on this one page that they spoke about Namakwa irrigation development, they talk about the Onsiepkan. It's another thing that's coming for years now, and I'm very amazed to see that it's going to be 1.6 billion rand, but the last 2 years farmers have been crying, there's no water that's going on there. So please, if they can include that in their presentation, what's happening with Onsiepkan?
For years and money, and where are we currently? Thank you, Chair. Maybe when you take the question, you won't take them chronologically. Mix, but because some of the other they're interrelated. And if we start with sugarcane, because that's where we are famous, and that's what we are famous for. Unfortunately, sugarcane is not clear on the APAP document of where it stands. As a result, we do not use the conditional grant on sugarcane. We use only our equitable share. And we saw no reason for us coming to explain about our equitable share here. But on the equitable share which we have allocated 55 million. And that 55 million is, we use it, we have a partnership with SASA, which is the South African Sugar Association. We have a partnership with them. And also we've signed a memorandum of understanding with them on how they do it, in establishing cane, in doing the ratoon, and in the establishment. And also, it's becoming a long story because you saw maybe perhaps also a few months ago when there was a new organization which is called SAFTA, which is South African Farmers Development Association, which had a big march, because also the march was also in collision with how SASA used those funds, which we also give them in the equitable share to manage sugar re-establishment and sugar establishment. So the answer is we do support sugarcane, and we have a partnership in sugarcane. The only sugarcane which we put here is the sugarcane for the distressed farmers.
people help. All farmers who came bleeding help because of the drought, we had to help. And also on the drought support itself, we have a number of figures and a number of papers which also we have produced on that. It will take time for the committee, but what we can say on the figures which we have, because on our in KZN we had specified that for drought, this is how we are going to help the farmers. We focused on animal feed. We focused on boreholes, on water harvesting, on deworming, and on deworming. And we have we've given some figures on the things which we have done on. Because what happened is with the conditional grant, we were asked to reprioritize from the funds which we had. And we prioritized 69 million from the conditional grant. And then from our equitable share, we also put in something. We ended up spending about 109 million on drought. That was also including the money which we used from our equitable share. Up to so far, also, in our equitable share, we have put 50 million aside for drought, and also we have used that money on the first quarter. But we haven't finished that 50 million, but we have used about 27 million on that. Also on the program of deworming. The deworming which is also trying to help the animals, which also have been affected by drought, because also after they have suffered or been hungry for a long time. Also, their system, we also need to work on their system. So which means then you need to inject them, you need also to give them some medical treatment. On Makatini, it's a case that Makatini is bigger than just conditional grants, because it's one of the programs which are on the Operation Pakisa. As a result, it's not only our department which is involved in Makatini. In Makatini, we have budgeted, this is the whole Operation Pakisa, not only which involves our department. We have budgeted 400 million, and it comes from the different packets, from different buckets of the other departments. But our department, we are only for at Makatini, we are mainly focusing on the irrigation scheme, the revitalization of the irrigation scheme, and also ending some new land on the irrigation, with new areas which we plan also to restart Kwehle and Nondabuya, which is are the areas which currently are on the dry lands, but also we see that there is a potential for them if we extend the irrigation scheme to them. We have then supported and budgeted for that. But the overall budget for Makatini, which we have, is 400 million. But also when I'm still on Makatini, I'll also talk about Mjindi, which the Honorable Chair has asked about. Mjindi itself is one of our parastatals. Of our SOE, which reports to the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. We have two. We have ADA, which is Agro Business Support Development Agency, and Mjindi Farming. The issue of water at Mjindi, it's been an issue because of drought and also because of the water rights. The water hasn't been enough for the irrigation scheme, and a number of people have been complaining about the access of water at Mjindi. But that is being addressed with the local municipality together with the Department of Water and Sanitation, and also the issue of rights. But also at Mjindi, the other issue is also there's been an issue of land gain. change, because some of the parts of the land where we are concentrating on helping the farmers has been gained. And as a result, it has been given to two bodies, to two entities, which have made themselves a trust. And we are negotiating with them on how, on the working relationship. As a result, at Mjindi, we currently have a mechanical review. We have a study of seeing whether is it also viable for us as a department or also as a province to continue having Mjindi as part of our entity, or maybe perhaps we should look at it the other way. But also that will also be influenced also by the bigger review of the SOEs, which also is going on, which is a national restriction on that. On aquaculture, it came out also that we are only on aquaculture. We are not very much visible. Here, I have to accept that we are not visible. We've only supported it with about 6 million. But also, the explanation is our department used to be Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, and Environmental Affairs. When the environmental portion left out to go and be in with another department, which is the Department of Economic Development, we also ceded the responsibility of aquaculture to that department. And as a result, also, we have a portion of the things which we are doing on aquaculture, but also that department also is also taking the responsibility for other things on that department. But we are new on aquaculture as a province in engaging on agriculture. The question of the relationship with the organized labor. We have a very good working relationship with the organizations. We start with Kwanalu, we go to Afasa, we go to Ward, we go also to NERCO. But as a result of that, we have also an umbrella body, which is called OAF, which is organized agricultural forum, which includes most of them, and then with the exception of Guanari, which also devotes itself in becoming a part of them. But we are involved with them. And also, besides just getting involved with them, we have also on our working group, which is Agriculture Participates on Working Group 1 for the PGDP, which is the Provincial Growth and Development Plan. And they are involved. They are part of the stakeholders which sits with us in terms of planning the program and planning the way forward. And there is a meeting tomorrow, a second meeting in this quarter on the PGDP. And also the organized agriculture will be sitting on that working group. In terms also of the feasibility, we have, also we'd like to emphasize that this is quarter one. We are talking about quarter one. We wouldn't be taking all what we have and then working it on quarter one. On quarter one, we were doing planning, and we already have on second quarter, we've already spent on the funds for visibility and accountability. We have received new tech. We have the procurement of the uniform is also in progress. I mean, but also on quarter one in terms of visibility, we were involved in policy, because also we wanted also to see what the national does, because the national was supposed to prescribe a policy, because one of the things which are on that visibility is the uniform. uniform to have our provincial uniform or a national uniform. This is the uniform for the agricultural extension officer. Something like the nurses. If you look at the nurses, you all see them now. You don't know what they are wearing, but in our case, they used to wear white, and then you could also just identify that this is the nurse or that was the nurse. But that's what we wanted also to do with the extension officer. We wanted to do it like that so that you can be able to identify them. And especially these days, since you don't know what's happening in the rural areas where there are so many people who are parading and masquerading as if they are something and yet they are not. There was also another question, two questions which came also from the Honourable Member, where those about the quoting and grain and saying that maybe perhaps he sees that we haven't done anything on that. We emphasize that on those, on cotton and grain, those they go with the planting season. Our planting season is starting in October, September, October. Actually, as a province, we are going to, I'll take this opportunity to invite the chair and the committee to be with us on when we launch. We're going to be launched at Dumbe, launching the planting season on October, on the first week of October. That's when then we'll be starting to do the working on the planting. That's when we reserve that. But on cotton, already the quarters are in process. And also on the grain, we've also chosen the companies which will be delivering the fertilizers for us, and also we have also started working with the farmers on identifying the areas which we are going to do to be plowing. The maize and beans. The maize and beans, those are the popular crop with the farmers which we work with. The research tells us that, but also the appetite also tells us that. As we had problems with the drought last year, the alternative became beans, because beans we put it later after maize, and then also it also tolerates water. you can also do it with less water, or with just if you just have mulch rather than maize, and that's what we were doing. That's why also we are working with the research to get a number of other cultivars and other specialized crops. We are working with them to get the drought resistant, the water resistant, and also there's some varieties, different varieties, because those are the main stable crops, but also those are the crops which people can use in massive numbers. But also with maize, we also have a program which we are working with SAB, South African Breweries, where we have a partnership with the South African Breweries and the farmers for growing maize, especially red maize, which could be taken in for by
red?
The SAB.
Sorry, that's a red maize.
Yellow
maize.
Oh, I thought you said red. Now I was saying it in Zulu, so I won't be the hope. On the recruitment, those are the honest figures which we have on recruitment, which we've done, which we've used for 4 million on the recruitment on the first quarter, because that's the recruitment of the staff which will be working as extension officers. At the moment, we've used 34%, but also it might also look like that, because our department will recently had a restructuring. With the restructuring of the department, also we had to go through a number of negotiations with the labor on how we employ and on how also we restructure and how also we redistribute the staff which we have, and that also might be the causes of that, because some of the people, because of the agreements which we had with the labor, we did not employ. We are still on process of doing matching and placing, and with that with We haven't finalized the admission and basically probably we'll finish it towards the second week of October, and then that also might have an effect on that. I think those are the questions which I've taken. Unless also on boreholes, also if I might elaborate on boreholes and what we have done, since we have some figures which we've sent into the National. This might be on the boreholes. I will take one district where we have done successfully. We had planned to do 22 boreholes at Umkhanyakude, but we've successfully done 20, and that has taken us about 1.76 million. And in terms also of the dam. Here we are talking about agricultural dams. Also,
sorry, are they all function, those boreholes?
The boreholes.
Yes.
These are new boreholes which we have drilled, so they are functioning.
No, it's fine, because in other areas they will say they've drilled, but there is no water that is coming out. If you
even specified here that there are 20 of them are successful and 2 are not, they are dry.
Okay.
And I've just taken one district.
Okay.
And on average, dam, on the dams, up to now we only have a number of dams which we've done. We've done 44 dams, and also others are in progress. I think maybe I can stop there for a moment, and let me pick up if there are some other clarity which we have to give. No, what we must do,
can
the... All the reports where you need to encapsulate the numbers and figures and so on, which the other members don't have, we'd appreciate it if you can give it to the admin staff, maybe before you leave, because we need that report. We need detailed things. The last point before I hand over, just need to caution. As and when we answer, I know we are coming to Northern Cape. Let's be specific and straight to the point. Today we don't have the whole day. We still have 3 presentations which must come in. So let's not make a short story, very long and so on. So I thought that I must caution, including yourself, members. We don't have the whole day, and we need to listen to everybody and interact with all of the reports that are coming. I'm now handing over to you.
Okay. I'll be very careful to take, to loan my power. I'm in trouble. No, before the Honorable Member, you have not responded to the question of your understanding of how do we separate them, and so that we were able to understand what.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to get into that one. That is the national competence. I think the national will have to answer that.
No. It's not the national competence. The national has launched a program called Setasa and directed to say that the 70% of cars must go to Fesatla. And the Fesatla were targeting to cultivate 1 million hectares. And each province will have its own target. The question that that's why I was saying, and there are specific crops that must be planted. It's maize, beans, vegetables, and what CDG?
Yeah, primarily the grain.
Yes, and What else? And those areas must be on communal land.
Yes.
And using the land that has been fallowed. So we want to see that you've started this land was not being utilized for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now you have, where are you now in getting that land to be productive? So that's the clarity that we need, because it doesn't come out in your presentation. Ilima has been specifically for household, and in most instances, you don't get it. And that's the work of National that we're doing, just to monitor this process, whether it's going in line with the policy direction. And we don't see it, the presentation does not reflect those elements, because you do not have these mixed things that we see in presentation. So, HOD, before you have been released, you can talk about this, your understanding of the mandate.
Well, thanks, Chair. We also understand it that. The first that it's a combination of CAS and ILIM and ILIM and focusing on grain, on vegetables and also other cash crops which you have on communal land. And for us also it works very well, because also besides the in terms of our program, the way we crafted them now. We have communal estates where we have particular measures, where we have the co-ops, we have the 50-50, which we're still debating, and also we have a program where we work with AMACOS. So then it fits in on the mechanization program where we work with AMACOS, because it targets the land and the area which has not been done anything before, which has been followed, which also has been neglected in most of the time. Because in most of the time, we were looking at the land where there is someone who's occupying it, who's going to be taking care of it. But now then, on the new AMACOS program, that's where we are doing it in massive.
Okay. Northern Cape, honorable members, they have not responded, Northern Cape. They have not responded to your question. They have. Yes, they have.
I did, honorable chair, on aquaculture, I said.
No, HOD, it's me who's chair. Thank you. They did, honorable young blue, they've said that they are not doing it well, but the problem has been that it has been relocated to environment, economic development, which is another department. So, but they are working with them. Yes. Is it the question that has not been answered? The what?
I just want to make a comment about the map. It's a pity that it wasn't included in our slide, because that's what we were looking for. Now we get this, and then it's not been what we got.
Which map is this one?
It's
Northern Cape.
Oh, Northern Cape.
Okay. Northern Cape.
I'd like to see something like that from the province.
Northern Cape. Let's give Northern Cape chance to respond.
No, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. I was going to ask for your permission to reflect some of the things that I respond to, but just for additional information, and let me, on behalf of the board and to the Commission of the MEC Committee, information details as it is required by the committee will be provided tomorrow, in areas where we are able to provide definite answers. But in terms of the drought, yes, we. Just like other provinces, we use 14 million from CAF allocation of the previous financial year to assist farmers in Francis Park, Pifika Seme, Namau, Azete Bukau, and John Dalakati. But prior to that, there were farmers, about 257 in Namakwa, that we helped with about 7 million. So we did participate, and the 257 that benefited in the Hunter municipal area included both smallholder farmers and commercial farmers. Whereas in the broader picture of the scheme, we used utilized money from Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program, and we focus mostly on smallholder farmers. In that, the province is still under experiencing a drought. We have done a detailed study, analysis, and interpretation of each area. That's also the information that we can share. We also have developed the drought management plan or management strategy. We know exactly when there is a, when the conditions of drought, what should happen. Like the map that we are showing, we have a team that analyzes and on a monthly basis the vegetation condition and checking the rainfall patterns in terms of the normal and the long term, and then make a recommendation in terms of that. So this how far the drought is concerned. Again, Honorable Chair, there are programs on animal production. We have the livestock production and development program in the province. Fencing for instance is for livestock production. We have what we call under that program livestock improvement scheme for animals that we are of good genetic material but we don't need it for further research. We distribute that to smallholder farmers who have land and they apply, and we give them we sell to them at book value what treasury permission or what treasury recommended. We also had a program called the Nguni Livestock Cattle Development in partnership with the University of Free State and the IDC, where we allocate animals to people who apply, and after a number of about 5 years, we have to retain the same number of animals. And then veterinary services, we are participating in the vet where to do community or the CCS vet. We also have mobile trucks that are moving to those distant parts of the province where we could not. So there is work that is being done in terms of animal production. Aquaculture, yes. We are involved in aquaculture through also Operation Patricia. We are trying to do research on a trout species in the Nostalgia municipality of Petrosville. We are community members who utilize water from the Fundersloop to catch fish, but they have been doing that not being supported, so we have developed a supporting mechanism working with our Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation, Department of Environmental Affairs. They have already received some credits to catch fish, but there is a problem in terms of aquaculture. We are also members of the Coastal Management Committee, supporting other departments of the fisheries. We have supported fishery people in Port Norlot as well as in other areas along the coast. So there is a problem that we are in terms of aquaculture. Again, of course, that we're not having included it. The explanation given by the my colleague from KZN in terms of ILIMA, as the teaching indicated, yes, this is so far as Petatara program, those identified commodities that must be produced And then we also requested, given the nature of the agricultural landscape of the Northern Cape, we must also consider annual production. Because we're only producing from irrigation in terms of landscape crop production. However, in other areas, as the Honorable Chairperson asked, we do have a budget for food security where we give communities starter packs, food, household food gardens. We're also working with social development and education, establish community gardens, which are also investment. And we will be launching some of the projects during the World Day conversation on the 16th of October this year. So there is yes, I concur, we did not include it in our presentation. In terms of Falhat, the 18 million, 13 million is for Falhat revitalization scheme. I talked about the salinization and the water logging. There is in terms of refurbishing the infrastructure and so forth. And then the other 5 million is for Francis Watt crop production. That includes a fertilizer program. And I indicated already in the presentation that we have planted in the winter crop. We have already started the winter crop, and in November, we will start in the summer crop in area. So that money is used for including mechanization. And to date, for instance, the last year, how far are we? You see, we said we need about 4 billion to implement the Falhat irrigation scheme. We have successfully engaged the Department of Water and Sanitation, who are refurbishing the main canal of the irrigation. And then agriculture, we concentrate on the reservoir or overland dam, which water will be utilized by the farmers to irrigate, and deal with subsurface drainage in them. So that's where I usually say we have actually now begun implementing the revitalization thing. And we had budgeted for about, estimated for about 10 minutes. That's what we also told our colleagues at DAF. To date, we have established about 26 reservoirs or overnight dams, about 63,781 meters of subsurface drainage have been cleaned, and the total area reclaimed since the implementation in 2007 is about 924 hectares. And we have spent, if you include the 2015-2016 and up to now, about 28 million just on that, excluding the 400 million contributed by water and sanitation in terms of the main canal, both within the protection of the Northern Cape and Northwest. So that's how far we have gone in with regard to the Falhat irrigation scheme. Yes, like I have indicated, honorable members, we have planted the winter crop. We are busy preparing, farmers are busy preparing for, and those who do not plant in the winter are busy preparing for summer planting. Like I have indicated, some of the support might come in terms of production input, others will be getting the center flow for irrigation and so forth. The issue on the female, where in terms of the hectare planted today, supported today, we are referring there, where we see here, is where in the first quarter what has been done. In the second quarter and third quarter, there will be movement in terms of the support. And in terms of land care, the budget, yes, is 9.3 million for the year. But to date, the province has received about 4 million in cash in terms of the transferring of money by the transferring department from DAF. That's how much we have received up so far. Not that we have lost the money. I did indicate, Honorable Chair, that we will we will bring detailed information with regard to the borrowers and how much we have spent up to date and what. We do have a detailed information on JTG, Joint Dollar High Credit District, in terms of what has been done and so forth. So that information can also be supplied. We can leave that one with the secretariat. And then, yes, we do have relationship with organized agriculture, including Upper Northern Cape, PASA, NAPU, and the like. We took them with us throughout the 2014, 2015, when we were working on drought. Even when we go and do the local inspection in terms of monitoring of the farmers were there. They participated also in terms of the drought management strategy. Even with the implementation of the scheme, the last scheme, and we agreed that we use the voucher system, where the farmer will go to the co-op. Those co-ops know how much they have to give to the farmers, and will connect whenever they want to connect the scheme. Where they had a challenge, then also will provide transport. So there is a good working relationship. Some of them belong also serve in some of the communities like the vineyard. There are farmers who serve in those communities. The one irrigation scheme that we're talking about is the Palahas irrigation scheme. The Greenfastmark, yes. We are. Greenfastmark is also part of the vineyard development. We can give a detailed information. Same with on Siepkas as part of the scheme. It has taken so long with Siepkas, because over and above implementation, we have to the EIA, some EIA, because in some instances we will be touching on fishermen, to take about 18 months. For instance, part of the EIA has not been issued now for Siepkas, although the other side of the scheme, we are busy implementing, we'll be finishing planting or establishing the vineyard now before the end of September. So there is work that is going. We can also supply the committee with a detailed study on our intention in terms of the local irrigation scheme and how much it will cost. I'm working in partnership with DALF, like I indicated, even want to bring on board rural development and the agricultural in country.
I just
want to check whether I have responded to all the questions.
Okay. The flood issues, both the cases, and where's the HOD? It's gone out. Okay, but are they going to get, you're still there, okay. The issue of the agri-parks, you have not mentioned them, both of you. I think if you can touch on those things. And the president has pronounced on the 30% procurement for small business. And just to check, what are you doing for the farmer? If you can respond to those two questions. Honorable State?
The general question that we asked yesterday, Chair, on the drought resistance.
Provinces
are making use of them, especially also my KZN, and Northern Cape specifically. I don't know. I don't think that plant made under irrigation in Northern Cape. I'm not sure. We they do, but also I'm sure they will have dry land. Then Chesterton, I'm sure that Boston will give all the provinces the general question about yesterday about drought relief, where the specifics of that, we don't have to repeat it because people won't be able to do it today.
Yeah, okay, no, it's fine. Yes, the ARC has launched the drought resist seeds, and they've told us that they've partnered with small emerging companies, and the other one is from KZN, the other one is from Limpopo, the other one, and they've, in their last presentation, they've not actually, those seats were not utilized. So, and we've got a problem of drought. And Northern Cape, because that map of yours is not appearing in our presentation, and you put it there, can you explain it, why you put it there, and what is that? What is it reflecting, the situation? Because we just put it there, and the first one, not this one, the one that was so scary. And where did you get it? Which institution has done it? Because, you see, ARC was presenting yesterday, giving us the picture, the prediction. Now you come and put a scary map here. So which institution have you used to? So if you can clarify us.
Honorable Chair, the map was just, I was just going to emphasize that I indicated that yes, we did have a drought situation. We participated, we implemented the scheme. We have a drought management plan and strategy. One of the outcomes of that strategy was to establish an early warning committee. That early warning committee monitors the vegetation, the rainfall pattern, of course working with other partners like the South African Weather Bureau, the ARC, some of the data we get at the ARC, but some of the maps we do internally through this early warning committee. And we acquired a system or an instrument last year, they call it agricultural drone, which helped us to study the vegetation. It's very powerful. Instead of going over with a flying machine, whatever, use that. It can even go deep. So we use that. So the map will indicate what is the vegetation situation within the last 6 months, 12 months, and then it will say within the last 24 months what is the vegetation. And then we do what we call ground truthing or in local inspection. So that is the meaning of the map. We analyze it to show that we don't unfuck, we do on a scientific basis, Honorable Chair. So that was the purpose. In terms of the agri parks, yes, we together with the rural development and land reform, five districts earmarked for the agri parks inside the 80 districts we have moved. We have an agri-park that will be established in Tontala Haiteri. We have an agri-park that will be in the Kuruman area. We have the Walkhasekhonyan local municipality in Francis Park. It will be Maharing, and all other developments will be supporting the agri-park. In JTG or Tontala Haiteri, it will be red meat. And then in ZF Mutau, it will be great, as well as in Namakwa, in Pixley Kaseme, the anchor product there will be red meat with the value addition in Petrosphere. Those are the districts which where the agri-parks will be established. The issue around, we are not, for up to now, we are using irrigated agriculture. We have not tried the mid-seed in terms of dry land. We are only establishing
who is under irrigation, we not so well disposed to make production under present. If we use both irrigation and water. And then, yes, we are in discussion with the national department about the amount of money that is that we are supposed to get in terms of finalizing, completing some of the areas in terms of the floods. There are discussions that are going on currently. And also, we are in touch with the organized agriculture to see what can be done. Yes, to put that down, together with organized agriculture, people and visit the areas, and we show the areas which if we don't intervene now, will be exposed to floods, which we hope will not happen. Chair, I think I have answered most of the all of the questions that were raised, and I also indicated that where we do not have information or we did not include it in the presentation, we will supply the committee what the, and then the information like this map that we show, that's other additional information we can leave it with the secretariat. And then the other information will be sent from tomorrow or latest by Monday. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay, that and on the the agri parks and the 30% procurement, I didn't hear it.
Thank you, Chair. On the 30% procurement for small farmers and also for small farmers, we are we have revised our as a province our procurement policy. Also, we've even gone further than this, because we have set 40% to the previous disadvantage, which of course it includes the small scale farmers. And then we are doing it according to our procurement policy at the moment. And also we are pro, in most of our procurement now, we are pro previously disadvantaged. And besides then this, we have another program which we did not talk about here. It's called RASEC. It's Radical Agro, it's Radical Agrarian Socio-Economic Program. Which is it also involves a number of departments, but mainly is also to use our advantage as in agriculture, to working together with the farmers, but also to producing for the market, mainly targeting the departments which are health, social development, department and education. We are working with a number of districts, but also especially with the Metro of Durban. And also that's going to address that in terms of procurement and also of the production, trying to answer that question. In terms of the agri-park, KwaZulu-Natal has 11 districts, but we have targeted our agri-park into 10 areas. We have combined Umgungundlovu and the Ethekwini Metro. That's why we have one agri-park on there. We are involving those two. And Umkhanyawood, one district which is called Umkhanyawood in the north, we have earmarked the agri-park at Umkhuze. At Zululand, we have earmarked the agri-park at Freyhead. At Majuba, we have earmarked an agri-park at Janhausa. But also then there, we are working with one municipality at Madlangeni, because although that does not fall under agri-park, but we are doing the whole town of Utrecht.
as an example, as an area where we are doing research on agriculture. Of course, then there we are using the land which was recompensated to the community and also to one people. At Utugela, we have earmarked an agri-park at Okatamba. At Mzimku, at Herigwala, we have agri-park at Mzimku. And Ubu, we have an agri-park at Singolweni. We don't have anything which has been built at the moment, but we are meeting and working with the municipalities and also other stakeholders, especially the other departments of rural development and land reform, also in identifying the funds which we are going to use in here. Most of the time we say identifying the funds because the rural development which we have as agriculture is not funded. Rural development for us is an unfunded mandate. And it becomes difficult for our equitable share also to redirect the funds into a program which has not been identified and funded.
Thank you.
And also on the drought resistance seed, we are talking with ARC to get some seeds, but also ARC did the research with one university, University of KwaZulu-Natal, and there is a company which is a consortium between them.
Yes.
The ARC and the university is called Buna, and we are going to be buying from that company because we have funded that company to start before.
Another case, 30% procurement.
Yes, Honorable Chair, we are on course. We checked our figures in the first quarter. There is progress that we are making. The other thing, beware, during the implementation of the drought relief scheme, a number of cooperatives, which are farmer owned, also participated in the distribution of the feed and also provided transport. There's another cooperative which, or two of the cooperatives that we are assisting, which also placed bets on putting tenders for some of the work that we are funding through the conditional grant. We are watching
the direct
thanks.
We'll then summarize when we're finished with the other the whole provinces, what we want to see happening in the provinces. And thank you very much, Northern Cape and KZN. We're not releasing you, because people will say thank you and then they think that you said they must go. We are not releasing you. You must be here until the meeting ends, because this meeting is for yourself. Let's welcome Western Cape. You're welcome and you can come. It's now your time to present. And maybe just to talk about this, the story of that map. I think it's very much important that we use information. We must use uniform information with regard to some of these things. ARC presented various focus from various institutions, and they gave the analysis of those forecasts, and which for me is a better way that we should actually do. We don't have to just take things as raw as they are without the analysis. they've put it, their analysis in those forecasting and assist farmers too. Because I'm raising this thing because AFASA, in the presentation, if you remember, they've said they're getting conflicting forecasting or prediction from ourselves. We should then be able to monitor that process and make sure that we don't give different. ARC will tell them this, from department will tell them this, and it's confusing them. I think we must stabilize that process, DDG, through yourself.
Yes, Chair, we will do so. All what I could see was they were trying to go into details up to a district level, whereas the perspective we got was a national perspective. But we will definitely make sure we minimize any potential confusion.
Welcome, HOD, from Western Cape. I know that I said we must come at half past 12. We are happy that you are here early. So it's your turn to present. You can introduce the team that you are with and.
Sorry, Jay. Morning, Chair. My MSC has said he's on his way. He actually agreed to 12:30, so he might be in time for the closure. So we'll play it that way. A half an hour, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know where to put it on. Microwave. There you are. So, Chair,
Do you have a problem to present in the absence of your MEC?
No, Chair. He has actually seen the presentation.
Okay.
We also had a meeting with him on Tuesday, which we could go through.
Okay.
So he knows exactly what we're going to tell you. He did send me a text to say he's just leaving WESCO.
Mm.
But obviously, we understand your timing as well.
Okay.
So I have no problem presenting.
Okay. You're welcome.
Chair, what I have done is I've brought Mukhale. He is the Chief Director for Farmer Support and Development. Next to him is the DDG for Agricultural Support Services, Daryl Jacobs. At the back is Cyrus, just wave, the CFO, so that he can make sure that all the finance is done. And then also Andre Roux, he's the Program Manager for Sustainable Resource Management, which Land Care resorts under.
Okay.
So I brought all the people that's important to confirm things. My presentation is about cost in Lima, Sexacola, the state of readiness, the revitalization of agriculture and agri-processing value chain, the commercialization of smallholder farmers, the jobs fund, the disaster recovery work, as well as the conclusion. Just to note that you have asked also for us to brief you on agri-parks as well as mechanization, and it is in this presentation. Okay. So is it on there? Or can we just update it for you, because this is what we send you, and
okay.
Just quickly update. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair, once they are preparing themselves, like we did with other provinces, they must not take us through the vision 2030, which is the NDP, they were discussed, what are the visions and so on. They must get straight into business.
Thank you, Honorable Maloy. Did you have heard?
Economic opportunities in rural areas.
it is about looking at agro-processing at both primary and secondary levels. So it's important that these departmental strategic goals fit into the overall both national as well as agricultural objectives. This I'm sure you've seen. And then just to come to the allocation that different programs make to support black farmers and the conditional grants. But we put in two additional things just to highlight that we use about 30 million of equitable share to support our cost as well as the NEMA. Land care, we also have departmental funds that we put together because it's a very small allocation, and you will agree with me, natural resources are extremely important. If you don't protect it, you can't do other farming. So we do add, from towards the land care, we do also use equitable share. So cost, we have 73 million. We have Letsima about 37.3 million. As you've seen, we have spent 14.9 million of cost or just transferred, and we spend it. The same with Elima Letsima. The land care we spent and we got 411,000 back. The interesting thing is we're also supporting a job fund application for 24 black farmers. Four in the Eastern Cape and 20 in the Western Cape. So it's additional money that is actually coming in to support our black farmers. And this is to get those 24 farmers to a commercial level. These are the planned activities which are also aligned to ARPA because it is a commodity-driven policy, and these grain, vegetables, red meat, poultry and piggery, deciduous fruit, wine and table grapes, and aquaculture fits into the framework of both our PUP and what the province can respond to. So you will see for the planned activities, we will spend 103 million rand on these key commodities for the West. The number of projects we're planning for it is 97, and the planned jobs is 2,452. The number of farmers targeted is 258 farmers. I think what is important also here, and we talked, these are new jobs, but there's a critical element at the moment given the economic situation. We also probably need to start thinking about maintaining existing jobs because it's getting tough out there. And so this is black farmers going to contribute to the job figures, but I think we need to think about how we help them to maintain their current workforce as well. This is just a presentation or a representation to give you what we will spend on what commodity, and it's exactly the same as the table, but it's just a much easier, quicker way to tell you. I have talked about the job funds, and we have presented to you the the projects where it will be, and also the 4 in the Eastern Cape and the 20 in the Western Cape, and given you the districts where it will be located. In terms of irrigation schemes, we're also looking at the construction of on-farm infrastructure that is benefiting about 152 plots. This is in the West Coast, and this is part of supporting rural development, also doing irrigation, and redoing the on-farm irrigation. They got the water there, but now we need to distribute it to plots. So, I think where once the water is on land, the production will start, and we'll also keep on supporting that. We will spend about 9.285 million on farmer training, and about only 387 thousand rand on mentorship. You'll note that we will target 5,105 fathers with the training and about 75 mentorship for mentorship support. We have at this stage, first quarter, already trained 475. And can I just say, we haven't transferred money, but this is also through the commodity approach. Our organizations deliver training to our farmers. So we continue with the training. We haven't done transfer to any of them for training, but they are continuing based on their business plan and their project plan. You've asked about extension and the extension revitalization. So you'll notice it looks like little green bushes, but actually what it represents is the number of farmers we've already visited in the first quarter. Because we use a smart pen, so every visit to a farmer gets registered on a mainframe, and so we can prevent when which extension officer goes to a farmer to support them. And we can also get a hard copy of the report, so we can see what kind of extension advice the extension officer has given the farmer, because the farmer signs it. We have proof that the person has been there, but we also have proof that the farmer knows, you know, what they have discussed. And I think it's an important step to keep on track what our extension officers are doing. Chair, then, in terms of the discovery after disaster recovery work, we have a 2013-14 flood aid scheme. We supported 138 farmers. After the 2013 and 14 floods, we were allocated 20 million, and we received 20 million in quarter one, and we spent about 1.942 million. Now, why it's actually quite slow and quite small to spend? We reimburse farmers for recovery work, but done according to specification. So our team goes out. If they don't meet those specifications, we don't pay. And we also have to do EIAs. And the EIAs take a very, very, very long time. Because each individual farmer needs to ask for an EIA. And so that takes a lot of our time, or a lot of time before we can fix or pay out. Then drought, which is currently a nightmare. We have still got two districts in a drought situation. It is the Central Karoo as well as the West Coast. And so we have demands for fodder from our both commercial and smallholder farmers. We reallocated 4.8 million from CARD. We took from our equitable share 28 million. We had a donation from AgriSA for 2 million. So we had 34.9 million to work from. And this is what we've already spent in the first quarter. We spent 16.1 million and 518 smallholder farmers were supported. We've also supported smallholder farmers in the wheat or the grain sector. There's about 7 of them that actually had no harvest last year, and we knew that both the farm workers as well as the smallholder farmers, we needed to protect rural developers' investments because they bought those farms and there's no income. So that is the livelihood support as well as the input cost to those grain farmers. We also supplied 328 commercial farmers with fodder, and we will, and just to keep in mind, we reallocated 6 million for last year's budget, but that was spent as well. And it was predominantly for smallholder farmers. Land care, these are the different objectives, and that is how we've allocated the 4 million that we received from Landcare. We focused on your water care, because water is an issue in this problem if we don't look after it. And then also the next highest amount was for junior land care. Because we believe if you don't start young enough, and that's about 10, 11, your adults don't appreciate your environment and how to care for it. This is what we've already, or this is what we plan, and this is also most of it contained in our annual performance plan, so we measure it both from a business reporting to that, but also keep track of it in our general annual performance plan. So that's what we're planning on doing. The people that have benefited already is 424, and the hectares of land where we've helped to control weeds is already 258, and then also 399 youth have actually attended our junior land care initiative. And so you can see we're already showing progress for Then the number of households benefiting from food security initiatives. The annual target is 1,080. We've already planned, the plan output was 120, and we've actually realized 120. But can I say this is just the household? This is not the 103 community gardens, which includes schools that we also. But there's one proviso, and we did an independent evaluation on our food security initiative. And one of the things we've always said is that conflict is one of our major issues when it's large groups. So the evaluation has proposed that no more than 7 members in a group, because then you can manage the conflict and you can actually show progress. So we looked at it and we said, actually it makes sense to reduce the number of groups so that we can be better supported and they can actually have better progress as well. Because conflicts often stop projects because members aren't agreeing with each other. So we have had an independent assessment to advise us how to do it. So that's the household, so it will be an additional 720 beneficiaries through the 103 community gardens. And then also what we needed to just say that I've raised the issue of the Mediterranean climate. So our crops are completely different. However, we have supported a number of hectares cultivated, and so you'll notice in the Overberg we have said we'll do 864, but these are different commodities such as fruit, also wheat, so grapes are slightly moving to the Overberg because of climate change, so you'll also see projects with wine grapes coming through. The Cape Metro will do 92, Cape Wynard 691, Central Peru 110. And can I just say with the Central Peru, in certain districts there are water. Like Prince Albert, they have a valley rich with water. So we need to focus on areas where we can actually do some irrigation. And then obviously Eden 410. You'll notice that we have actually, in terms of actual output, already done 256 in the Overberg, Cape Metro 22, Cape Wineland 141, and Eden 53. I think in terms of our output, we are on our way to meet the target that's but our seasons are slightly different. So when people start planting in January, December, often we start harvesting. So it is out of sync. And I think one needs to just keep it in mind when you look at this. Okay, now this one is the mechanization support to farmers. We try to show you where the 70 tractors are. Now, it's very faint, but all the project names that got tractors is represented there. What we have done, because the 72 tractors from that, we were requested to keep it as a state asset. So what we've done is we've put trackers in it so that we know where they are. So we get every month how much it has been used. We get the fuel and all the projects that got these tractors is actually monitored because it is state asset. But what we have done as well, if they haven't used it well, we have actually taken it away and given it to another project and then retracted again. But there are about four or five also what we call community mechanization centers that also receive contracts. So if, Chair, the committee wants to have these records, we're quite comfortable to make it available because we do have them. And it's important to track these tractors because it's state assets. The other tractors is part of a business plan which becomes the project or the beneficiary becomes the owner. So we can also make that available, but that is part of a business plan. These tractors were a very special case, and so we treat them as such. In conclusion, just to say that partnerships, we realize, are critical for the development of smallholder farmers, so we do the commodity approach. The impact of drought on small farmers' output, especially the wheat, forced us to look at support to those farmers that's outside of the normal fodder support that we give as government, and that the Western Cape is a Mediterranean climate, so the implications for smallholder farmers is different in terms of planting seasons, as I've mentioned. So just to confirm to you as well, in terms of our agri parks, we obviously have, with rural development, we sit on a committee to look at what is possible. Now, the information that we have in the department where you can grow what has become important in the agri park process, because it's no use in Beaufort wanting to do anything but livestock, because that's what they're good at. So in Overberg, you've noticed that we said this is the money we'll spend, this is the commodity, and so in terms of the agri park focus, I can actually confirm each commodity that is possible in our district will be brought in our black farmers, because you have to focus on what's possible to grow. So just to give you a quick highlight, is the Darsel, Overberg will be grain, fruit, and livestock. In Central Karoo, it will be livestock. In West Coast, it will be fruit, aquaculture, and livestock. And in Cape Winelands, it will be fruit, livestock, wine, and table grapes. And in Eden, it will be fruit, vegetables, seed production, and so that is where we will focus our agri park process with rural development, because that's where we have established smallholder black farmers to participate in your agri park. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me welcome the MEC from Western Cape. We have to start without you. Our apology, MEC. can we now invite Eastern Cape at long last? Okay, maybe let's sit behind.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable MEC from the Eastern Cape, my colleagues. Chair, as I indicated yesterday, I've brought together with me the DDG for Agriculture Development, Mr. Leon Kutse, who responsible for Program 2, Program 4, Program 5, Program 6, and Program 7. So some of what we will say are directly under his supervision as well. Mr. Kokwana, who is just today the surrogate mother of Program 3, because the responsible person is experiencing illness. But Chair, just before I allow Mr. Kokwana to present, I just want to touch on certain critical issues this year, which really influence the decisions that have or are taken in the Eastern Cape. Some of these are obvious, but I've got to mention them. We are mindful that the Eastern Cape has got a large number of subsistence and smallholder farmers, and these farmers are in a communal setup. So that is very, very critical because it influences a lot of planning around. The second issue that I would like to mention here, Chair, is that out of the total budget allocated to the Eastern Cape, what goes to the department is 3% of the total budget. And now as a result, that has actually influenced the department to think as to how do we really, really stretch the rent so that we can be able to meet some of the demands coming from the communities. This, as a result, has forced us to consider partnerships with the private sector. We tested this, Honorable Chair and Member, by engaging private sectors like the Wickhold, Undergold, and Amadlelo. And we saw that this does work because there is an element of marketing, which is usually a challenge to our communities, which is factored into the uptake agreement, governing that partnership. There is also an element which we actually realize that there is an element of capacity building, which is actually usually a challenge amongst our farmers. Though we do provide that support as a department, but also the partnership arrangement does provide further support. The other item, Honorable Chair, that I really would like to mention here, yesterday the ARC did present those weather maps. Those weather maps, Honorable Chair and Members, they were so helpful for us in managing the drought. Were those maps not available, we would have done a blunder, in particularly around Joburg, where it was hardest hit by the drought. So when we got those maps, they quickly depicted, you know, the red areas around the Joe Garden. That had allowed us to quickly rethink about the Sesadala program that we had already planned for that district, because we couldn't realize that it would be kind of like a waste of, you know, government funds by planning when we really see indicators that this area is going to be hard hit by the drought. Furthermore, Chair, we did actually participate that exciting drought-resistant cultivar that has been produced by the ARC. We did actually do a lot of demonstrations across the province so that it could be easily adopted by the farmers. We tested it against other cultivars that are already in the market that have been mentioned to be also drought-resistant. So it actually performed very, very, very well. We work with ARC, Honorable Members, very, very closely. We work very, very closely in many of our research work
in maintaining our junior merino stud, we work with the ARC. We work with them in most of the search topics, in particularly around the fiber crops. They were very, very instrumental in our breeding program, which is done by them on our behalf. The state of readiness, Chair, I cannot afford not mentioning it, because it's quite crucial. Chair, there are already deliveries taking place, in particularly along the coastal area where there's minimal risk of a drought. Places like Amatole, we've got places like, if you remember the map of yesterday that was shown by the ARC, it really reflected the areas around Alfred Zone as the areas which are actually having a little bit of a challenge to rainfall. That has actually influenced us. The same pattern which we saw last year from the very, very map is the same pattern that we are actually seeing, which was presented yesterday. That really influenced even our allocation of Sabadala, because the performance of Alfred on Sabadala last year was quite good. So it actually was, there was a really significant difference between its performance and some of the coastal districts. So we therefore allocated more again this year on Alfred, and that is confirmed by what that map was shown yesterday by the ARC. One of the honorable members was mentioning around the issue of the human issue around the drought. Now, the statement I opened with the chairperson around our type of farmers in the province as subsistence and, you know, smallholders, their lives really depend on those animals. Those animals are working banks for them. Then any loss which we really incurred during the drought was devastating to them. Hence, therefore, it became for us impossible to stop with our surveillance, making sure that where water is needed, we quickly supply the water, where feed is needed, as we are constantly doing right now, Jefferson. Because the result of what we experienced last year was not actually pleasing. Chairperson, I really took note of the yesterday directive, which you actually mentioned. One of them, Chairperson, was around the model of Mpumalanga on the graduates. So that one, Chairperson, has been taken care of. I've taken note of that one, so it's pursued. Much as we talk about the drug resistance, there was an element raised here that you need to be sure of the tonnage, you know, of what we have. That is also being pursued, Chair. Some advice or approaches to drought, which are actually presented here by the ARC, they really actually assisted us even during the past year. So these chairperson are being observed. The auditor general to audit. That is noted, Honorable Chair. On the 30% procurement, Chair, if you look at the tenders that are being issued by the department, there is an element of sensitivity that we do not chase out the SMMEs. And that is done without saying this. We do not care about quality. That is taken into consideration, Chairperson. We do not flout any of the procurement procedures. But it is very interesting that you could notice that in most of our programs, fencing, etc., the mechanization that you contract, most of those people are at a really, really SMMEs that need our support. So we are actually working on that one, Chairperson. There is the most interesting part, Chairperson. We've got home industry as well in the province, which is done at Solo College as well as a formal training called a farmer training center. A group of women who've been trained there to do school uniforms, jerseys, tunics, blouses, jackets. There are so many of them who have been supported, who actually produce. around those areas. Now, the same thing that Chair, it does, when I talked about the mechanization, we also, that actually influenced as well our input supply. That actually input the input because our infrastructure support capacity. Second thing, that is the issue that I love that I must have touched on, you know, before the presentation. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, SG. Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable MSCs, I will try to go quickly through this presentation. The first slide, that is explaining the different acronyms or abbreviations that have been used in this presentation, we will go past that. The presentation is actually being introduced, and we'll look at CASP, we'll look at land care, we'll look at FESATALA, we'll look at livestock production, irrigation schemes, drought relief, progress on agro-parks, and we'll have some concluding remarks. As an introduction, the province is one of the provinces that are well known for being blessed with abundant natural resources, which could be used to trigger economic growth through agriculture. But nonetheless, the performance of the sector in that province, we admit, hasn't been what it's supposed to be. And amongst other things, is due to the lack of infrastructure, as the HOG has indicated, the nature of our farmers, which makes it difficult for them to obtain financial support from financial institutions, the nature of our farmers, which also affects their levels of adopting technologies, limited skills, and the absence of markets. Nonetheless, the department has tried to ensure that when we utilize the conditional grants that are given to us, we try to address these limitations so that we can stimulate economic growth, create employment, and ensure food security. It is also important to highlight the fact that the department has actually tried to align itself to all the policy directives like Outcome 7, the 9-point plan, the provincial MTSF, APAP, and the Broad Economic Empowerment. When we come to CAP, the department has been allocated 271 million, which has been given into the different pillars, with extension recovery plan receiving 79 million, training receiving 16 million. The vitalization of colleges, another 16 million. The money that goes to infrastructure is 135 million, with 2 million going to information and knowledge management. The money, also the province has also contributed in terms of infrastructure support with an equitable share, which is amounting to 87 million. The additional slides that have been given to the members, which some of this information will be reflected in those, because when we deliberated with staff, we realized that we could add some more information so that we can make the point very clear. So there is a slide there that indicates that the province has also set aside an additional 87 million in support of the various commodities, especially in terms of infrastructure. The way the department has structured its conditional grant cap in terms of the infrastructure that it is going to use, almost 18 million has been set aside for fencing of productive land, a tune of 326 kilometers. And as I've indicated, there is money that goes to the vitalization of villages, some major projects like the construction of a dairy parlor, the construction of citrus tech shed, money that is being spent on the macadamia nut development, money going to livestock water boreholes and their equipment, irrigation schemes, building of sheds, abattoirs, animal handling facilities. But the amount of money that goes to infrastructure is basically 101 million. Training has also been prioritized in the budget that has been set that has been given to the province, targeting the training of 2,240 farmers and 190 farm workers, providing leadership to youth, 170 benefiting, targeting the mentorship of 40 projects. The extension recovery plan, money has been set aside for visibility and accountability, image and professionalism, recruitment, reskilling and reorientation, as well as the provision of ICT in order to ensure that the extension services provide a better service. In terms of expenditure to date on the infrastructure side, only 101 million that has been allocated to the province. The expenditure to date is actually sitting at 21.8%, of which about 90% is already committed. The 10 million that remains uncommitted is for projects that are still at a tender stage, but which are in the process of being
procured at the moment. And this is just a few of the features of the projects that have already been completed, and Osborne Street Diffington, which is being constructed at Alfredo, is almost complete. Sensing material is already has already been developed in many of the areas in support of the Rural Enterprise Development Hub. This one is an example of fencing material that was being delivered at Mkanduri for that purpose. Fencing has already started, and there are some projects that have already that are in the process of being completed, almost being completed, in preparing for the coming planting season. So these are just some of the pictures. Fencing facilities in support of livestock farmers, which have already been completed. This is one of the additional slides, because when we presented the infrastructure that we've done, but we didn't split it per commodity to see how much have we spent in terms of the commodities. Now this is just a split indicating that only the infrastructure that has been implemented, these are the commodities that have been, and this is the money that has been spent against those commodities. On training, up to date, out of the 16.7 million that was set aside for training, 2.5 million has been spent, which is a reduction of 12%, and 281 farmers have been trained in all the districts. And there's a split there which shows in terms of gender and youth and those kind of classification. On the extension recovery plan, on accountability and visibility, our extension officers have actually been visible. And that to date, 465 smallholder farmers have been supported with technical advice. Commodities have been supported. In terms of image and professionalism, our extension officers attended at various conferences up to date, and they've been provided with ICT tools as well. There's 109 of them which are actually going qualification upgrade at different institutes in the provinces. The picture on recruitment, which I think according to what the members have, is reflecting one advisor being appointed. This is one advisor who is actually at work at the moment, but to date, six agricultural advisors have been appointed and are likely to resume work in October. And at the moment, we are also recruiting an additional five advisors, of which the advert is closing on the 30th of this month. And in that pillar, of the 79.2 million that is there, 36% is, 36 million has already been spent, which is a reflection of 45% expenditure. In terms of the jobs that have been created through the conditional grants to date, a total of 212 jobs have been created. And from the land care, 301 green jobs were created. This is just a table that shows the split of how these jobs have been created and the beneficiaries in terms of gender and the designated groups. On land care, the province has been allocated 10.6 million for land care, which has been distributed across the six districts in the province. And the specific focus on the activities of land care will be on the clearing of invasive species, fencing of degraded and the rehabilitation of areas, implementation of water harvesting practices, implementation of conservation agriculture practices, promoting and encouraging youth to be involved in land care activities through the junior land care project, and the construction of erosion control structures, as well as awareness campaigns. To date, like I indicated, 301 people have benefited through green jobs that are in the land care project. And of the 10.6 million, 5.1 has already been spent, reflecting an expenditure of 48% to date. And a number of awareness campaigns have already been done, capacity building exercises have been conducted. 592 hectares against the target of almost 4,000 hectares has already been rehabilitated. 855 people have already been through the awareness campaign capacitated in terms of adopting and practicing the sustainable production technologies. On FEDSA Clara, the following slide, the members may not have, and it will be in the additional slides that have been included. Now we're reporting on the 2015-16 program of what actually happened there, where the department was allocated a total amount of 150 million for the implementation of FEDSA Clara, which was composed of the money that was from CAF, the money from Ilima Lesima, as well as the contribution by the province. in terms of its equity and its share. Of that 150 million, 148 million was used, reflecting an expenditure of 99%. In terms of what we achieved with that, the target was 42,500 hectares, but due to the drought, which was a problem throughout the country, only 49% of that was actually achieved. This benefited 8,253 households, and some of that money was spent on high-value crops, such as chicory, pineapple, citrus, and deciduous fruit, and an area of 1,088 hectares was supported. In the process, 176 jobs were created. Due to drought, the yields that we managed to achieve from the maize, from the cropping program, ranged between 3 and 4 tons. And as the HOD has already indicated, the information from the ARC did help the department in terms of redirecting its resources to those areas where the impact of drought would not be so significant. Out of the 21,000 hectares that were planted, it is clearly demonstrated that Alfred Nzor, with his coastal areas, is one of the areas that contributed most there. Oar Tambo, which also has got a huge coastal area, also made the biggest contribution in terms of what we achieved in the last financial year. And the heavily affected areas like Joe Valley, which only managed to grant 112 hectares out of the 1,900 hectares. The western area, which is also very dry for a Batman, only managed to plant 269 hectares against the 1,100 that was targeted. So that's how the drought actually affected. But then the outcomes of this also affected the province in determining how are we going to do the allocations for 2016-17. In 2016-17, the budget that has been set aside for Fesa Tlala is 168 million, which is made up of 54 million from CAF, 64 million from William Adesima, and the province has put its own equitable share of 50.3 million. This 168 million is going to be used in the following way. 93 million has been set aside for production inputs, 63 million is going to support mechanization, 12 million is going to be used for infrastructure support in line with the in those areas that the crop production will be taking place. In 2016-17, the decision has been made that when we utilize the money this year, we will focus in high potential areas, and we'll focus in areas in support of the agro parks, as well as in support of the rural economic development enterprises. As the department has already indicated, the role of partnerships cannot be overemphasized, and we've already established partnerships, of which some of them are already ongoing, with OLD, the ARC, OLD Mutual Masisizane, Grain South Africa, Chifata, SAB, and local municipalities. And the way in which the area which we are targeting to plant in this year, which is 43,800 hectares, will put more land to be plowed in the areas that will not be severely affected by drought. And as was indicated by the ARC data yesterday, Alfred North, the area has gone up to 13,000 hectares. Oar Tambo has gone up to almost 12,000 hectares. Amatwane, which also boasts some of the coastal areas, has gone up to almost 10,000 tons. Sarabashman, which is in the west, which also gets severely affected by drought, the area has also been reduced this year. So there's been a shift in the allocations to ensure that the province aligns with the effects of drought and the current weather pattern. The people who are aiming to benefit, which means the province intends that they will benefit out of this program in 2016-17, are almost 13,000. And the table there just gives the split of who are they in terms of gender and the related aspects. To date, in terms of trying to implement this, as the Rock Department has already indicated, the department has already committed some money towards the procurement of production input, and the data that tries to indicate how far has been committed. Of that amount, of the 168 million, 40 million is already committed towards the purchase of production input. And the table that just tries to show how much has been committed under each of the categories where the funding comes from. And in short, as the HOD has indicated, procurement of production inputs is underway, and pre-plant deliveries are to be finalized by mid-October. In certain areas like Krisani, deliveries have already started. In Oar Tambo, inputs for vegetable production have already been delivered. In areas where there is, like in the high such levels have already been delivered. Contracting for mechanization is currently underway, and by the end of this month, contractors would have been contracted. So the province, as this was indicated even by DAF last year, is yesterday, is actually ready to commence cropping on time. In terms of mechanization, the mechanization policy that the department does, like the HOG has already indicated, has got a huge focus on promoting local procurement because the department uses the services of local contractors for most of the cropping. And then we also use the available state-owned tractors, of which there's 72, which are in different states of functionality, but with a large number of them being functional. On livestock production, there were specific questions that the National Department had actually said that the provinces would have to reflect on, with specific focus on vaccination. Yearly, the department targets to vaccinate almost 1.7 million cattle and 250,000 dogs and cats against anthrax, brucellosis, and rabies against for the dogs and cats. The program is managed through each district, which actually coordinates what is going to happen in all the local municipalities. There was also an issue that was raised on the availability of the veterinary mobile clinics. The province has got 13 of these, which are equitably distributed across the province, but the bias is towards the eastern side of the province, where there is the scarcity of private veterinarians, and these are operated by state veterinarians. We were also asked that we should indicate do we have any of the compulsory community service veterinarians, of which the province has got 17 of them, and they are distributed as indicated in the table there, and as well as the names of who they are. Irrigation schemes. On the irrigation schemes, the area that is potential area that is under irrigation in the province is 13,000 hectares, and it includes the known irrigation schemes of Kamata, Noka, Kefu, Elijah, Shiloh, Kamaho, Zanyoko, and AFM Zanyoko. These irrigation schemes receive funding from various sources, which includes district municipalities, the department, rural development and land reform, and the partners that the head of the department has already indicated, such as Amarbelo Agri, which are operating in some of the irrigation schemes. The current funding commitment at the moment includes the following funds. The department has set aside 2.5 million for personnel. Crescent District Municipality, where most of the irrigation schemes are located, has set aside 5 million, and we are also expecting other funding from rural development and land reform. In terms of land ownership and institutional arrangements, this is a combination of community development trusts, primary and secondary cooperatives, and non-profit organizations. And in most of the irrigation schemes, there is a board of trustees, which is a registered structure that is responsible for the control of all the movable and fixed assets in the scheme. The following table demonstrates briefly of what is happening in each of the irrigation schemes at the moment. Mwaka actually focuses on two enterprises, which is dairy and maize. Maize is produced in 1,000 hectares, and we've got two dairies there that are in at the moment milking 2,000 cows on 600 hectares. Kamata has also been set aside as a mechanization center, and it's got 16 tractors that are currently operating there. And there's also a number of smallholder production plots at Kamata, amounting to 300 hectares, of which everything is going very well at the moment, and they've got partners in terms of Potato SA. Milite is one irrigation scheme which has got a pecuary enterprise, and they're also cropping maize and wheat at 180 hectares. And one of the good news is that out of Milite, if you go to the next slide, 12 hectares that was put under Chardonnay and Pinot Touch, and I understand that the grapes there have already been, they have already reached Cape Town, and the wine that is coming out of there will be going to the province in not so long, in the very, very near future. Kais Kamahok is also a dairy enterprise with 1,800 cows in partnership with Amarbelo. And then there's also a number of other smallholder vegetable and cropping enterprises, other small irrigation schemes, the small scale ones, like the one that is along the Kai River, which is also done with partners such as Rance Timber, where they are growing sweet chili peppers. Then we've got Kefu irrigation scheme as well, which is growing pomegranate, which there are issues around there, but there is a lot of effort in trying to resolve any other problems that may be encountered in that scheme. On drought relief, last year, after the instruction to redirect funds from infrastructure, the department redirected an amount of about 48 million towards drought, which consisted of funds from Ilima and Prima, from the money that couldn't be spent on cropping, as well as the infrastructure money that was not spent at that time. Of the 48 million, 45 million was spent on feed supplies, where 44,000 farmers benefited. On water cutting, 2.5 million was spent, benefiting 55,000 farmers. The same number of farmers also benefited by getting water storage facilities in the form of tanks. 7.7 million was spent on fencing in order to improve felt management in other related aspects so that the effect of drought cannot be felt in the future. And those are some of the pictures of the drought being drought relief interventions most last year. And as you can see, one of the things is delivering forage to farmers. And drought on the plans for 16-17, the department got from its equity of the share 95.5 million towards drought relief, which has been split in the following manner. The supply of feed, 33 million has been set aside for that, and at the moment, 18 million has been spent, and feed has been delivered in four of the five districts. It is in the process of being delivered. The department also felt that it needs to invest on fodder production in the province, because one of the problems that we encountered last year was the scarcity of fodder around the country, especially when the drought became serious. So 20 million has been set aside so that the province develops capacity to produce fodder on its own. And to date, producers have been contacted to buy production from them, and we're expecting deliveries from October onwards. The issue of water storage facilities has also been emphasized, and 3 million has been set aside, of which 2.7 million has already been spent. Fire breaks and fire belts to prevent fire damage, which tends to be a problem during dry times. 2 million has been set aside for that. Boreholes and drilling and windmill and the like, 35 million has been set aside for that. Service providers are being evaluated and they will be contacted soon to commence with the work. And there is data on the allocation and the number that will be actually refurbished and the number that will be drilled for the new one. Drought relief has been, we have accelerated its implementation by ensuring that our contractors in their contracts and our service providers in their contracts, they were very strict on the delivery and the schedule of and the schedules of delivery. And they are monitored very closely, and there is reporting every week against the target so that we keep track of what is going on. On AgriPark, this is a brief that we can give, that in most of them the sites have been identified, and in some of them work has already started in terms of establishing these. At Alfred Go, for example, at Cedarville, where the site will be, we've already identified partners, which include the department, Old Mutual, the municipality, and the business plan has already been, business proposal has already been submitted, but it's awaiting approval. At Amatole, a site has been identified at Butterworth. Infrastructure has been identified, an upper is under construction. A consultant has been commissioned to do infrastructure plans for renovation. At Chris Lanning, Mwaka is already operating. 75 kilometers of fence has already been completed. Additional silos have already been completed. A road is being upgraded. At Joe Clubby, Lady Grey, where the site will be, site assessment has been done. Environmental impact assessment has already been done, and the farmer producer support unit has already been established at OR Tambo, at Lambasi. This one is still under discussion because there are some social dynamics that still need to be attended to. But nonetheless, the Mangosini dairy is functional, the 224 hectares that are under center pivot irrigation, fencing has already been constructed. At Sarapartman, at Ardo, where the site will be, the farmer production support unit has already been prioritized even there, with a focus on taking deciduous fruit, as well as including the chicory production that is taking place at Zambia and part of the Western District. In conclusion, understanding the slow process and the slow pace that tends to affect the utilization of conditional grants, the department has already put in place all the plans for 17-18, and it has already developed an infrastructure delivery management gateway. And one of the things that tend to deliver to delay the implementation of infrastructure has always been the issue of the environmental impact assessment. Now all of those have been done. There's none outstanding for all the 17-18 projects that are going to be done. Projects have already been developed and milestone schedules, reporting milestone schedules have already been set. And in many instances, we use framework agreements to sort of fast track the processes of procurement. Capacity shortfalls have been addressed. We will outsource where we have to outsource, and we use implementing agents in some cases to ensure that we are able to fast track our expenditure against the target. Monitoring is going to be very strict. Even at the moment, projects are being visited on a weekly basis, and the management is holding meetings every week to ensure that progress is being monitored. Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you.
Thank you, Usman Kate, and welcome, Land Bank and Statistics South Africa. You're welcome to this meeting. We'll adjourn for lunch, it's half past 12. Come back at 1 o'clock if we can. The latest should be 25 to 1. No, 5 past 1. Sorry, 5 past. Yeah. Lunch is outside. Let's just quickly have something to eat and come back. I don't know.